Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Rest assured, all the problems have been solved. We united the Asia.
We've united the Asia.
Reminding you, we're going to get to this Trump part of the China stuff. We'll get to that here in a second. We are going to talk a little World War III, and we're going to talk a little bit about communists and how they got here and why they're able to do the things they do in various societies. But all those things are going to have to wait. Why? Because it's Monday, baby. And you know what that means. That means it's Medal of Honor Monday. Every single Monday at this time, we take a Medal of Honor citation. They're all online for free. You can go read every one of them right now if you want. There's nothing special about us. We just take one and we read it. Remember the men. Remember the deeds. Hold these people up as what your children should want to aspire to be. All right, wait. Want to aspire to be, I guess, probably is supposed to. Your children should aspire to be. Shut up, Chris. I'm a world famous author. I'm better in print. All right. I'm better in print. All right. We actually got an email about this one. It's about a Mr. Jack Loomis. World War II, Iwo Jima, and daggone, it is a doozy.
Ready, aim, fire.
Honoring those who went above and beyond, it's Medal of Honor Monday.
For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty as leader of a rifle platoon attached to the 2nd Battalion, 27th Marines, 5th Marine Division, in action against enemy Japanese forces on Iwo Jima in the Volcano Islands on the 8th of March 1945. Resuming his assault tactics with bold decision, after fighting without respite for 2 days and nights, 1st Lieutenant Loomis slowly advanced his platoon against an enemy deeply entrenched in a network of mutually supporting positions. I'll explain what that is in a second, by the way. Suddenly halted by a terrific concentration of hostile fire, he unhesitatingly moved forward of his front lines in an effort to neutralize the Japanese position. Although knocked to the ground when an enemy grenade exploded close by, he immediately recovered and again moved forward despite the intensified barrage, quickly located, attacked, and destroyed the occupied emplacement. Instantly taken under fire by the garrison of a supporting pillbox and further assailed by the slashing fury of hostile rifle fire, he fell under the impact of a second enemy grenade, but courageously disregarding painful shoulder wounds, staunchly launched his heroic one-man assault and charged the second pillbox, annihilating all the opponents. Subsequently, returning to his platoon position, he fearlessly traversed his lines under fire, encouraging his men to advance and directing the fire of supporting tanks against other stubbornly holding Japanese emplacements. Held up again by a devastating barrage, he again moved into the open, rushed a third heavily fortified installation, and killed the defending troops. Determined to crush all resistance, he led his men indomitably, personally attacking foxholes and spider traps with his carbine and systematically reducing the fanatic opposition until, stepping on a landmine, he sustained fatal wounds. By his outstanding valor, skilled tactics, and tenacious perseverance in the face of overwhelming odds, 1st Lieutenant Loomis had inspired his stout-hearted Marines to continue the relentless drive northward, thereby contributing materially to the success of his regimental mission. His dauntless leadership and unwavering devotion to duty throughout sustained and enhanced the highest traditions of U.S. Naval service, and he gallantly gave his life in the service of his country. And rest in peace. Rest in peace, warrior. Always gets me. Gets me every time. All right, enough of that. Just a couple things I do want to clarify, and I need to be better about this. This is something I screw up a lot on top of everything else. Some of these terms, some of the military terms that get used, people get confused about, and I've explained this part before, but it was only once, and people get confused. A network of mutually supporting positions. Part of the reason the Pacific portion of World War II fascinates me so much is how truly, truly, unspeakably bad it was for the guys who were on the front lines of it. And this is what I mean. If you're a Marine and you have to get the Japanese off of Iwo Jima or Saipan or Tarawa or any one of the other islands, one thing we forget about, or it can get lost when we think about it, is the enemy, they're all people too. They're people, just like we're people. People with minds, people with strategic minds, people who have time before you get there to make preparations. Now, if you were preparing an island, Iwo Jima, and you're making for yourself, you're trying to figure out, okay, where should our defenses be? Where should we set what up? Well, let's see. The Marines will probably land here or here or here, and I'll go down there and I'll act like one of the Marines. How would I approach this position? I would go this way, or I would go that way. This is the only way I can go. And then you travel through this, the mind of the enemy, and you say, okay, well, let's put up a pillbox here. A pillbox is like one of those concrete things you saw in Saving Private Ryan, by the way. Big old concrete thing with the slits in it to go shoot people down. Well, I would set up a pillbox here. Okay, but again, you're not dealing with robots, with Japanese robots. They're going to think about that pillbox. Okay, well, we got our pillbox. How are they going to try to get to the pillbox? Oh, look, there's this path right up behind this hill that would lead up to behind the pillbox. I know they're going to try to take that path. Why don't we put a little bunker or a little spider trap over there so when they try to walk by us to take the pillbox, we can gun them down? Oh, but what if they take this other way? That's fine. We'll put some landmines out there. And you see what I mean? The enemy has time and the enemy has a mind. Part of the reason these World War II Pacific Islands were so brutal is he knew everything we were going to do too. They definitely have to get us out of this cave. How are they going to get to this cave? They're going to come through here. So let's set up this thing to stop them this way. But how are they going to defeat that? Let's set up this thing. So you basically have to just, for lack of a better way to put it, you have to die. You have to die to take this little piece. But then that's not enough because you have to take the next little piece, and you guys have got to fight and die to take the next little piece. But that's not enough because you got to fight and die to take. You're basically dying every inch trying to get to where you're going to. And that just sounds so awful, right? Especially when you think that most of these guys were 18, 19 years old, 20 years old. It's crazy to think about, isn't it? Anyway, so that's that. Now, let's put a little bow on the Chinese thing really quickly because I want to get back to a couple different things. One, of course, as this thing started to look bad for Trump, the media leaked that this was, well, something that happened under Trump. All these balloons flew on over Trump. Trump comes out and says, nobody ever told me about that. What? So either the media was lying or, well, we kind of have information we know now. These things did happen under Trump because Trump had war declared on him from within his own government, his own administrative state. These things were hidden from Donald Trump. Thus, once again, proving something I've said 1,000 times. The administrative state, there's nothing more dangerous happening than what's happening within our administrative state of this country. It is a government completely separate from you and completely hostile to you and everything you want. That's a really big deal. Well, all right, well, I'm going to make one more point about China, and then we're going to do a long point because something else just came up. There's something that's floating out there in the culture wars, and it's going to give us a good opportunity to do the who, what, when, where, and why. All that is coming. Before we get to that, let us get to this. We have yet a new listener idea, and I feel like, well, that I didn't get permission to give them credit, so I'm just simply going to say one of the listeners had the idea. It's actually hilarious. Why don't we take a chalk mail vitality stack, and instead of mailing it to the members of Congress, why don't we put it in a plane and spread it over D.C. no matter what? I don't know how legal this would... What, Chris? I don't know how legal it would be, but think if we could miraculously boost the testosterone. I think we can do this, Chris. We'll have to check with legal. I don't know. Look, I don't know all the ins and outs. I'm not a lawyer. All I know is Congress would benefit from a 20% increase in their testosterone. So would you. Male vitality stack from Chalk. Ladies, female vitality stack for you. You want more energy? Feel better? Get those hormones balanced? CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. That gets you 35% off the subscriptions. Get a subscription so you save money. Save money. Chalk.com, promo Jesse. Hang on.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse
USA!
Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Reminding you, you can email the show, Jesse at JesseKellyShow.com. Jesse at JesseKellyShow.com. Out here every single day.
Name me a time. Name me a time.
I just wanted to try it, Chris. It's awesome. Do we still have the other one where he says, we're changing people's lives? Oh, there it is. We do.
We're changing people's lives.
I can't decide which one I love more, but they're both going to be on the soundboard for a long time. All right, all right. Couple quick things before we finish up the China thing that we do a long little American communism bit, because there's a new thing out there that, as you mad, I'm going to address it. Couple emails, Chris. Dear old man Kelly. It's not nice. I heard you droning on about your book signing today. First of all, congratulations. You should be proud and excited, but I think this newfound success may be making you a little soft. I did not hear you inform the people that are buying your book the rules are the same as the telephone. No small talk, keep the line moving, and when you get your book, leave. Please, please feel free to yell, get off my lawn at random times and search desperately, and so on. So, right, now listen, no. I take that back. I was going to say that's not how it's going to be, but it might. Let me clarify something. I've never done a book signing. There will be many book signings after, obviously, it gets shipped to you. Remember, you can pre-order it now. JesseKellyBook.com, The Anti-Communist Manifesto. I guess I should say this. I envision this to be all of us just kind of hanging out after the show. Let's go to a sports bar and let's get some cheese sticks and some wings and some pizza and some beers, and let's just kind of hang out. If, however, this thing gets too big and I have to sign a bunch of them and there is not enough, there's too many people to hang out, then no, I don't think you need to avoid all small talk. However, let's do keep the line moving. Let's look behind us, people, and keep the line moving. Look, I don't know how we're going to handle all this. I don't know. I will say this, though. Good news on that front. We checked all the legal boxes. Had to throw a couple disclaimers in there because apparently everyone's going to sue me. But oh, well, that's going to be fun. I also have this one. Jesse, seeing as how you always need new T-shirts, how about a bunch of shirts printed out Jesse Kelly, world famous author? Well, obviously, that's going to happen. One, two. We had a reservation this weekend. The wife had a birthday, so I made a brunch reservation on Sunday, I think it was. Brunch reservation at a restaurant here in town. Pretty nice one. Not to brag, Red Lobster. Lady asks us, do you have a reservation? I say, of course I had a reservation. Should be on there under Jesse Kelly, author. The wife was mortified. Absolutely mortified. She put her head down in her hands and kind of turned around. The lady didn't, either she didn't hear me or she hadn't heard of the book. I don't know what her problem is, but she didn't know what the deal was. Howdy, Jesse. 30 years ago, I worked for a customer who was a little girl in Germany during World War II. I was proud when she told me that American bombing scared her more than anything else. She said that even in a bomb shelter, the bombing was so loud she couldn't hear anything else. I brought this up last week. This is from Friday's show. I just want to do one last thing on the China America thing, because people are talking about what if there's going to be a war, and we got this general predicting World War III, and I don't know about all that. Remember, I'm the one I said China's going to take Taiwan. I didn't say anything about us versus China. I do think something Americans don't have perspective on, because we've been the ones doing the bombing of other nations, other cities. You don't really grab this perspective until you read books written by people from other places, what it's like to be under an American bombing attack. One of the most revealing ones, if you can find these books, they're harder to find, or perspectives or magazines, is if you find somebody who was in the North Vietnamese Army or Viet Cong. We look at Vietnam through our own lens, right? Not from a bad lens, our own lens, our own perspective. You hear those guys describe what it was like to be in the jungle when American bombers came overhead and started bombing whole parts of it. They thought the fist of God was coming down. It was, you hear them describe it, you don't relish it. And one more thing on the China-America thing before we move on, we got other things to do. We don't consider something, and it's a really big part of this. If you look at the world's economy and who contributes what to the world's economy, and you look at the huge contributions that America and China both make to the world's economy, just various goods we ship off, various goods we take in, you look at our contributions economically. You set aside the bombs and bullets part of it, nuclear and all, set all that stuff aside. You have any idea how many millions of people would die globally if China and America just got locked up in their own war and stopped doing some of those other things? Yeesh. All right, enough of that war. Let us discuss this. People are up in arms. Disney, what do you know? Front and center once again. Disney out there running, well, this for your child.
This country was built on slavery, which means
slaves built this country.
Tilled this land from sea to sea to sea. First there was rice, tobacco, sugar cane.
Then Whitney did his thing and cotton became king.
And we were its soldiers,
4 million strong.
Fighting for America's freedoms, even though we remained America's
slaves.
Built this country, the descendants of slaves.
Yeah, okay, okay. You got the idea. You got the idea. Why? What's the real purpose? What is the purpose of the writers here, the producers here? Why is this stuff increasing everywhere? Let's do a long unpacking of the why so you and I can understand this a little bit better. Before we get to that, let's do this. Democrat-run tourist town sees 200% surge in break-ins amid violent crime spike. This is Asheville, North Carolina. True story, I actually looked for work in Asheville, North Carolina 7-8 years ago when I was out of work and desperate. I loved that place. All my people in Asheville now, they email the show and they say, my goodness, never come back. You're not going to believe what happened here. And I can't believe that. It was such a lovely little town when I was there. But I guess the communists took it over and trashed the place. Remember, there's more mentally ill and violent people out there now than there have been in your lifetime. You just make sure you're always carrying something on you that will stop them, all right? There's a hero arrow, pepper gel, non-lethal. You don't need a concealed carry permit for it. You, your wife, your daughter, your mother, your son, your brother, they need to have this and carry it on them. Hero2020.com, code Jesse for a special discount. Hero2020.com, code Jesse. State restrictions may apply. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. If you have missed any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. Don't forget on iTunes to leave a 5-star rating and a review talking about how handsome I am. Now, let's do a long unpack of American communism, the Marxism here, the breakup of the country, because there's a great opportunity for us to do so. I played just a little bit of this bit right before the break in case you missed it. This is a Disney kid show that's out there. If you're going to a Disney park this summer, if you're going to watch the new Disney movie, if you're still paying for Disney Plus, I want you to know you pay the salary of every person involved in this.
This country was built on slavery, which means
slaves built this country.
Tilled this land from sea to sea to sea. First it was rice, tobacco, sugar cane.
Then Whitney did his thing and cotton became cane.
And we were its soldiers.
4 million strong.
Fighting for America's freedoms, even though we were...
Okay. Yeah, we got the idea. We're going to get to the projecting other people's trials and accomplishments on yourself. We'll get to that in a little while. That's going to be the end. We'll put a bow on it with all of that. But how did we get here? Why did we get here? Okay, let's walk backwards through this. Okay, so now you're finding out, maybe this is the first time you've heard of it, there's yet more horrible American Marxist propaganda on television that's designed for children. Whoa, okay, well, how did that get there? Well, these shows don't just appear. These shows have writers. These shows have producers. These shows have to find writers and producers. But who wants to be a writer and producer? Well, I think it's important for you to understand that there are many, 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 many American communists out there who have understood for a long time, to their credit, because they're right and we're wrong, that going into the field of entertainment presents for them an opportunity to spread their religion around. That's what they want. So you, if you wanted to go be a writer or a producer at Disney, what would you do? You'd be excited. You'd call mom and dad. Hey, guys, not going to believe this. I got a job. I'm one of the writers of the new Disney's kids show. I'm going to do a great job, mom and dad. I hope we win an award. That's what you would be. I want to be a great writer. I want to do this. I want to be Steven Spielberg. But again, the communist is not there for that. The communist isn't there to be a great writer, to win awards. No, he'll take being called a great writer. He'll take winning awards. The communist is there to spread his religion. Who made this show anyway? This crazy, a new racist anti-white show. Who made it? What's that woman's name? LaToya Ravenow, our old friend. How does this show get on TV?
I worked most of my career, and I'd heard, hear whispers. Like, I'd heard things like, they won't let you show this at a Disney show. And I'm like, okay. So I was a little, sus when I started. But then my experience was bafflingly the opposite of what I had heard. The showrunners were super welcoming. Meredith Roberts and our leadership over there has been so welcoming to my not at all secret gay agenda. And so I felt maybe it was that way in the past, but I guess something must have happened in the last, they are turning it around. They're going hard. And then all that momentum that I felt, that sense of I don't have to be afraid. Let's have these two characters kiss. Let's in the background. I was just wherever I could, just basically adding queerness to if you see anything queer in the show, I'm proud of them. But I just was no one would stop me and no one was trying to stop me.
Who sits down to write that show? She makes sure there's a lot of what she called it, queer activism, gay activism, whatever she called it in there. And now we know there's a lot of race activism. Okay, well, what? We're walking backwards, remember. We started in present day, and we're going backwards, trying to figure out how we got here. Well, how does that happen? How do we end up with a bunch of people like this? Well, I actually want to give credit to this 1619 project, Nicole Hannah Jones, or whatever the heck her stupid name is. She works for the New York Times. The 1619 curriculum is in many, many schools' curriculums across the country. The idea of it is America was actually started by slaves in 1619. It's a slave country. It's an evil country. It's a terrible place. In fact, credit to her, she was on television this weekend giving you and I a tremendous opportunity to understand the mind of these people. We're going to walk through it and figure out how we got here. And here she was.
I think there's something much more central happening, which is that the history of Black Americans is so inconvenient to the narrative of America that there are, powerful interests that haven't ever wanted us to.
Black Americans, their history is so inconvenient to America. Now, hold on a second there. What does that mean? it's inconvenient to America. Is she saying that if we dug in more to the history of Black Americans, we would hate America like we should? Well, that's obviously what she's saying. But why? Why is that the case? How do we get here? That brings me back to something we've talked about a lot, something we have to understand because it's around us at all times and it will help us understand so much about why we see what we see. Communism has nothing to do with the bourgeois or the workers or the abolishment of private property or this or that. That's not what communism is. Societies are a rock. But rocks, over time, if you've ever been in the Rockies, you'll notice these huge boulders, huge rocks. And then every now and then you would go up into the mountains, especially after winter, and there had been a rock you'd previously hiked by. I'm talking the rock the size of a car here. You'd previously hiked by it 1,000 times, and it shattered in 20 pieces. And it's really weird. Well, how does that happen? Here's what happens to the rock. The rock, over time, because of various deficiencies in it, will develop cracks. Not the end of the world. They're tiny cracks, right? Just a little crack. No big deal. It's big rock, big tough rock, tiny crack. No big deal. Well, it becomes a very big deal when water begins to get in those cracks. When you get rain, when you get snow that melts. You get snow that melts, you get rain, and it gets into those cracks. Again, not the end of the world. It's a tiny crack, tiny amount of water in there. But it turns into a big deal when the freeze comes. The freeze comes, the water expands, and it really doesn't matter how big and strong that boulder is. Once the crack has been filled with water and frozen, that boulder will be shattered. Now, how does that come into play with what we're talking about here? How does that come into play with Black America, with what that idiot thing that lady said? Well, walk through this with me, okay? We're going to do a little experiment for ourselves to see how this happened. Because you know already, a long time ago, the Soviets infiltrated the civil rights movement. It's not an accident. Many of the civil rights leaders are avowed Marxists or were trained by Marxists. The Soviets did that on purpose. Why? They saw a crack. The crack was America's treatment of Black people. They saw an opportunity to exploit that to do what they really wanted, and that was to shatter America. So they began their infiltration process. But we're going to step out of that and do our own little example so I can explain how that happens in a moment. Before we do that, did you practice this weekend? It's Monday. It is Monday. Did you pull out your Mantis X this weekend and attach it to your weapon and spend 10 minutes, 20 minutes dry fire practicing with your weapon? If not, why not? The Mantis X, the best and probably worst thing about it for me is it takes away all the excuses because I don't have to fire any ammo. I don't have to join a range. I don't have to drive to the range. I don't have to pay for the range. There's nothing stopping me from attaching it to my weapon and dry fire practicing in my home because everyone has 10 minutes on the weekends, 15 minutes on the weekends. Live feedback, drills, me watching, monitoring my progress, watching myself get better. What excuse do I have? None. Go to MantisX.com and get one today. It's what the professionals use. The Marines, Paris Island, Boot Camp, they use Mantis X. The Green Berets use Mantis X. You want to shoot like the pros? Practice like the pros. Go to MantisX.com and get one today, all right? MantisX.com. Now, we're going to keep walking back. What about these cracks? Society's a rock, and now there's cracks? Hang on.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
On a jagged sky. I just dropped in.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, reminding you you can email your love, your hate, your death threats, your Ask Dr. Jesse questions. All those can be emailed into jesse@jessekellyshow.com. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now, it's what we were just talking about, because we're walking backwards through all this. How do we get to a place where they're putting communist filth on Disney. Well, we've walked back through all the civil rights stuff, and now it's time to do an example. As I always mention, communism is simply the search for society's malcontents. You find them because they are the water you need. You find them, you pour them into the cracks in that rock of society, freeze them, pop, society gone. Communism is just the search for society's malcontents. Now, an obvious retort to that is people say, well, okay, well, what about these cracks? What are the cracks? Well, here's what they are. They're things that you've missed as a country, as a society, as a tribe. It doesn't matter what you are, a tiny tribe, a big nation. Things that you've missed. Sometimes they're somebody's fault. Sometimes it's just things we've overlooked. But there are things you've missed that can be used to agitate other people. And this is what I mean. Let's say you and I start a tribe, right? We're starting our 100-person tribe. We always go back there to try to describe things. And you and I are setting everything up, and we're going to administer everything. Right? We're going to be number one and two. Obviously, I'll be number one, and you'll be number two. But you get how it works. We're going to put our heads together, and we're going to come up with this good village idea for our tribe. And we'll have the cattle over there, and, hey, the drinking well's over there. But we got a great plan. The school's here. It's a great, great plan. But not maliciously, just the way it worked out, you and I, neither of us made a plan for roads, for legitimate roads. It's just, they aren't there. Now, if you were a person, let's say a communist piece of trash, and you wanted to blow this village up, you wanted to wreck it, you wanted to destroy this society, a perfect place to start would be, hey, let's go find out who's mad about the lack of roads. So you go knocking on doors in the village. Hey, man, great, good to see you. Hey, Bob, good to see you. Can you believe there's no roads, though? I bet that makes it hard for you to get your horse and your carriage and your goods to and fro. Wouldn't you love roads? Man, I can't believe they didn't even give us roads. This village has no roads. Isn't that horrible? And soon, you will have gathered people who, even if they like the society as a whole, even if you were to sit them down and put them through a quiz about the pros and cons, the pluses and minuses of the village, they would still have way more pluses than minuses, and they like it there. But they don't think about it in those terms. All they think about it is, wait, I don't have roads, actually. Where are my roads? Hey, Jesse, where are my roads? You're in charge here. You're the shogun. You didn't have any roads? Do you not care about me? Am I being oppressed and discriminated against here? I need roads. And soon, there's a pro-road contingent that thinks maybe your village sucks. That is exactly how the American Marxists, the cultural Marxists, that is how they've trained generations in this country. Every society will develop cracks over time. Sometimes it's malicious. Oftentimes it's simply negligence or incompetence, but eventually your society is going to develop cracks. The communist in America has just focused on filling those cracks up. Why is this a common theme with the, quote, civil rights leaders we have today?
I think there's something much more central happening, which is that the history of Black Americans is so inconvenient to the narrative of America.
Why do so many Black people today talk like that, on the left and the right? Well, because it's kind of true. Parts of it are true. Enough of it is true that you've been used as water to break up the rock because you were ripe for the picking. We did have some cracks there. We did have some cracks with the whole slavery thing, segregation thing. That was exploited by the communists, not for the purpose of making you equal or giving you rights or taking away your oppression. None of the communists care about any of that. You were used like a sucker to break up the country. The same thing applies to look, everyone's mad today about the Grammys. All the endless LGBTQ demon filth on the Grammys. How does that happen? How does that happen? Well, it's not that the communist ever cared about gay people at all. You're all going to be lined up and shot the second he takes over anyway. But you're great water for the cracks. Hey, man, these dirty Christians here in America. Hey, do you know they don't even think you should get married? Hey, this country has never treated you well. You don't even have equality here. Hey, just give me some political power. Give me some political power, and I will hurt these people who have deprived you, who've oppressed you. You're perfect water for the crack. You climate change nutters. By the way, I do have a great Yuri Bezmenov clip on this. Great, Chris. I'll play it for you in a second. Climate change nutters, perfect thing. Maybe you're somebody listening to the sound of my voice, and you genuinely believe that the air you're breathing out is changing the Earth's climate. Maybe you really believe that. Okay, fine. I'd say you're a nutball, but good for you. You understand that you're the perfect water for the communist. He doesn't care about the Earth. You can go look at the lithium mines out there. He doesn't care about the Earth. He doesn't care about carbon. But you're useful water. Hey, man, America's killing the Earth. Hey, come on. Just give me some political power and I'll hurt these people. You're all just water. Communism is simply the search for water. And hopefully you're not part of it. All right. Now, let's move on. Let's talk about puke. Hold on. Let me explain for a second. You understand how much I dislike cleaning up puke. I try not to be a squeamish person, and I'm not, right? I'm not sitting there when the dog pukes. I'm not sitting there dry heaving, crying, oh my gosh, I'm dying here, but I'm not happy by any stretch of the imagination. It's going to take everything I have. The next time I meet naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, it's going to take everything I have to not hug the man. Granted, he's a Green Beret, so he'll probably murder me if I try, but I don't have to clean up Fred's puke anymore because of Rough Greens, and that's really nice. Just a supplement I pour on his food every morning. He used to puke up every meal. Did you know that? Every meal. I don't remember the last time he's thrown up. Rough Greens is not only making him healthier, more energetic, he doesn't throw up his daggone food anymore. Free jumpstart trial bag. Roughgreens.com/Jesse. Go get you yours. Roughgreens.com/Jesse.
Wir sind Theresa und
Nemo
und deshalb sind wir zu Shopify gewechselt.
Die Plattform, die wir vor Shopify verwendet haben, hat regelmäßig Updates gebraucht, die teilweise dazu geführt haben, dass der Shop nicht funktioniert hat.
Endlich macht unser Nemo-Boards-Shop dadurch auch auf den Mobilgeräten eine gute Figur und die Illustrationen auf den Boards kommen jetzt viel, viel klarer rüber, was uns ja auch wichtig ist und was unsere Marke auch ausmacht.
Starte deinen Test noch heute für 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/radio.